From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And welcome back to another week of Locked On Chiefs. Thank you for listening. We have a special guest today. Matt Derrick is joining us again to talk about the OTAs last week and to talk about the Chiefs offense and defense and the new players that they've added.
Great to be here. Good to talk to you again. And Ryan once again gone, so I think I get my card punched for free barbecue. So
yeah, I think that's at least three punches at least for each of us. So I think we're good there.
I will always take that.
Exactly. All right. So a little bit of news before we get to that. Was there anything that you thought happened in the NFL last week that was big enough that we need to discuss?
Good grief. There's just so little going on right now. There's just nothing to talk about when it comes to either gambling or the national anthem or anything like that. So no, I mean, what could possibly be happening in football that's worth discussing?
Yeah. Well, and the gambling thing is something that we haven't really discussed too much on the show. I do think that that's going to be a huge thing for the NFL to figure out how they're going to deal with that, because now they're going to have to. They're not going to have choices, and they are in a horrible position, if you ask me, because they're going to have to deal with state laws, not a single federal law.
Well, and without getting into the weeds too much, you hit on what the NFL strategy is, which is they want a comprehensive national policy. They want Congress to pass a law that now that it's, you know, you can't have a law that they're saying that limits gambling in the way that it was. They want a blanket uniform policy nationwide so they don't have to be going state by state to try and lobby and legislate for these things. So that's the NFL's philosophy and policy. How it's going to work out, hard to be seen, because the states are just going to move too fast. And, you know, could you be gambling in Kansas and Missouri, you know, a year from now? It's going to be quite possible. I mean, I think it'll probably take a little bit longer than that to get everything worked out and go through the legislature next year. But by next football season, by 2019 football season, yeah, you probably can.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but you're looking at, you know, like you said, having to deal with gambling laws in 50 states is a horrible thought process when you're talking about the National Football League and what they have in their interests. I can't imagine having to deal with that. I think that eventually the Congress is going to have to step in and make some kind of law. And the states are going to have to conform at some point, because you can't have 50 different states going 50 different ways. Eventually that'll get too onerous, I think.
Well, and there's so many layers to it, because, you know, depending on, you know, the legislation and regulations from state to state, it could affect so many different things. It could affect just the transparency of the teams that are required. It could affect revenues, because, you know, some states, you know, are talking about, you know, allowing for a fee payment that would go to the leagues and to the teams, you know, as far as, you know, basically a tax on gambling that goes to the teams and the leagues. And some states might not do that. You know, some teams are going to have maybe able to build marketing relationships with, you know, with casinos and online sites and everything. That's going to affect their revenue. And then how do you fold that revenue that the leagues are now getting into the salary cap calculations and everything? I mean, there's so many different layers to this that they've got to go through, and it's a lot. And then when you add on the idea that every team and every market and every state may be different, that's just adds to the complexity. And it's certainly not what the NFL wants, but it may be what the NFL gets.
Right. No, and that's obviously the direction they don't want to go. Now, the other issue that came up that was big, I mean, obviously you have, you know, David Tepper's going to be the new owner of the Carolina Panthers. I don't think that was going to be any questions or concerns there. But you have the NFL's new anthem policy.
Yeah. And, you know, in talking to, you know, Andy Reid and some of the players about it and everything on last week, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, because you're sometimes going to get answers that are just politically correct answers. That this is an issue that, at least in Kansas City, the players, for the most part, don't want to talk about. And maybe the guys who do want to talk about it, just keeping their mouths shut and everything. But it's definitely something that Andy Reid does not want to talk about. He's never wanted to discuss this. He wants to talk about football. And if it's not football, he doesn't want to talk. So I certainly don't blame him there. And this has obviously been it's an issue that Kansas it's been an issue in Kansas City, obviously, with the Marcus Peters situation last year and everything. So, you know, it's really difficult to figure out, you know, where the players in Kansas City kind of stand. You know, you've kind of seen some response around the league and everything. And I don't know that necessarily the response in Kansas City amongst the players is necessarily a whole lot different, but the way that they're talking about it is, you know, that they just don't want to discuss it. And I think part of that is that they don't want to run maybe counter to what their coach is saying or what their owner is going to say, and that they would just rather for the situation to quiet down, I think, is probably the main thing. But I don't, at least here with this team, it doesn't look like it's a divisive issue. And if anything, I think it's probably going to be a quieter issue than it has been in the past.
Well, yeah, without Marcus Peters here, I don't think it's exactly going to be as big of an issue. You know, I do think that it's going to change over time. And I think that, you know, the other part of it with OTAs being last week and this getting announced last week is players just don't have enough time to digest. I mean, yeah, you have a little bit of time, you know, you're not going to be at the building the entire day. You have your own personal time to digest, but there's going to be other times to talk about this when players have actually had time to really mull what the decision means. So I do think it's going to be something that will get talked about eventually, maybe not by Kansas City's players, but there are going to be definitely some other NFL players, and some have already come out and started to talk.
And we'll see what happens. You know, really, you know, right, to a degree, it's not going to be really an issue until there's games again. And then you see, you know, how the players approach it and, you know, who comes out for the anthem and who doesn't and everything. I mean, you can fit me to the category of, hey, I have got personal feelings on this, and, you know, they are what they are. But, you know, as just a, you know, sports writer and everything covering this, I'm kind of like Andy Reid. I want to focus on the games. I want to focus on the sport. And I wish that we could get past this and everything, but you know, it's going to be what it is.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the actual OTAs, since that's what we were here to talk about in the first place. What did you see, and what are the notes that you have from the offense over the first couple of days of OTAs?
Yeah, I mean, and you had to take it with a huge grain of salt, because we got to see one practice out of three practices for the first week. That was all that was open to the media. And, you know, and we heard a little bit about the first couple of days. Maybe there were some pretty spectacular plays. The Thursday that we saw, there were very few, if any, spectacular plays. The offense looked ragged. I mean, it was rough out there. A few drop balls, you know, a lot of balls that were just not on target. And you have to take a lot of things into consideration. You know, I mean, some of these, you know, some of the misfires we were seeing were kind of like in a 2-minute drill. So it's kind of a, you know, a forced situation. And they're just trying a lot of different things. I mean, that's the thing that I think you're going to probably see once this team gets a training camp and everything, and might be what does hold this offense back a little bit this year than maybe we would expect, is that this is going to be a new offense. I'm not saying that 90% or 100% of the playbook or anything is going to be different and changed, particularly in the passing game, but it's going to be different. I mean, they're putting in a new offense. They're putting Mahomes a stamp on this, and part of that process means that it's going to look rough at times. And Thursday was one of those days. It looked rough.
Well, and I think what you have to look at is you can't look at this in a vacuum. You have to look at it from what it means for the entire team. And it makes sense that they're going to evolve the offense around Mahomes. Andy Reid really did a masterful job about that, in my opinion, with the Alex Smith last year. I thought he really pulled a lot of things into the offense that Alex Smith could do very well. And really made it Alex's offense. And doing that for Mahomes is the best way to utilize his talents, obviously. And they definitely have the pieces that I think will fit with him.
Yeah, and you know, you touch on the Alex thing, because that was really an evolution. I mean, you know, it was not that, you know, that was Alex Smith's kind of patented offense, you know, year one in 2013. It really evolved over time. I mean, they just kept adding more and more and, you know, things to the offense and evolved it and everything, to the point where, you know, what you saw in 2017 was a lot different than the 2013 offense. And with Mahomes, hey, the 2018 offense is going to probably look a lot different than the 2022 offense. But this is definitely going to be a big evolution here. I mean, they're going to be doing things differently. And a big part of that is just taking advantage, obviously, of what Patrick Mahomes can do well, you know, with the arm strength. And I keep telling people, I mean, don't even think about this as just being a down the field kind of thing that's what they're going to do. I think you're probably the biggest changes that you're going to see is just the width of the field, you know, as far as the play calling goes. And, you know, maybe
throws outside the numbers that normally they wouldn't have been doing.
You know, we saw,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, we saw an end zone throw yesterday that, you know, was kind of indicative of this. It wasn't completed, but it was, you know, Mahomes rolling out to the right and then throwing a corner back to the left. You know, that's something that I don't think the Chiefs would normally have tried in the past. But now, because you got a quarterback who can throw the ball across the field with some speed and some accuracy, you're going to see things like that.
Yeah, and he's definitely got the arm strength to be able to get those throws across and be okay. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com. brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct. They're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. So what did you see from the new Chiefs weapon at wide receiver?
You know, we saw more on social media than we saw in practice. Those catches that Sammy Watkins was making, that he posted the video of online, those were a little bit more impressive than anything we saw on Thursday. You certainly see, you know, see the speed there. You see the quickness, the ability to get open. I mean, he's definitely showcasing that on the field right now and everything. Like I said, the whole offense was kind of out of tune on Thursday. Nothing was quite going right, so we didn't see anything that spectacular, but yeah, you can see, I mean, you know, you can see what kind of a talent that Sammy Watkins is and what he's going to add to this offense. And Patrick talked about that after practice and everything, you know, just as far as, you know, what he can add. And you can really sense that, you know, that opening day and those catches that Watkins was making, is that Mahomes has confidence in him. And that's what, you know, you need as a quarterback. I mean, you need to have trust in the receiver. And if he's got that, that means that, you know, Mahomes is not going to have any qualms about throwing it Watkins' way at any time. And that's what you need. I mean, you've got to be able to pull the trigger, and, you know, and I don't think Patrick's going to have too many problems with that. I think he's going to pull the trigger a lot, but, you know, but if he knows that he can throw the ball and throw Watkins open, if he can throw him, you know, the ball, even when maybe he's covered or he's not there yet, he's got the confidence that he can be there.
Well, and I think what you're talking about is something that I think is, and I know I've said this multiple times and I've harped on it and harped on it and harped on it, but I think this is also going to show, I think it's going to show better for Chris Conley as well. Just with the type of wide receiver he is, I think that this is going to help open him up in this offense to be a bigger piece of it. I mean, obviously he may be the third wide receiver, but you know what? He still has a lot of talent and he still has a lot he can bring to this team.
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, I think that the teams are just going to have to play the Chiefs differently going forward. I don't see how necessarily you can play this team in a base defense. I think you're going to have to live in a nickel or a dime defense and everything, because with the number of between Hill, Kelsey, and Watkins, and you throw Hunt coming out of the backfield, you've got enough targets as it is that now you get to the, you know, Chris Conley's and, you know, the DeMarcus Robinson's, they're going to be able to get open too. I mean, it's just that, you know, you're going to have maybe your fourth or fifth best coverage options on those guys. They can beat that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to open up some opportunities across the board, just, you know, having three receivers like that in the category of Watkins, you know, Hill and Kelsey, it's going to open up a lot of things on that offense.
Well, and to me, like I said, it's not even that Chris Conley wasn't getting open before. It's that he is getting open with a different QB that's willing to throw it without a huge separation gap. So I think that's going to open up what he does best in using his body and being able to out jump people and out physical people.
And all you need is, you know, for Mahomes to be able to make the reads, and, you know, and we did right. see, unfortunately, you know, he threw in a quick pass to the left to Conley on Thursday and did not see Steven Nelson. Nelson jumped the route, picked it off, would have been easy touchdown. And that's where Patrick Mahomes struggled last year. It was with seeing, you know, a little bit of off coverages. It was with seeing reading zones and everything. And he says he feels more confident with that he's getting better at that. And, you know, and a big part of that is he says that the comfort level he's got, that now that he's not having to worry as much about, you know, calling the play in the huddle, he feels more comfortable there. He's getting more comfortable under center. He says as that comes along, he's building that comfort. It's kind of freeing up his mind a little bit to start seeing these coverages better. So you got to hope that with time and, you know, with training camp and the preseason, that those are going to be the areas to me where he needs to and can make the biggest strides, is being able to see things like that. Because like I said, that interception, that's the thing you worry about with Mahomes, that, you know, that he's obviously he's confident that he can make any throw, but if he makes the wrong read and doesn't see the coverage right, it's going to go the other way.
Right. And that is a concern, but at the same time, you have to look at it and say he is still learning. And it's a work in progress. So
absolutely. And I'm not taking anything away from these OTA practices, because they've, you know, both, you know, Reid and Mahomes said it. I mean, this is test time. This is when you try to figure out what you can and can't do on the field. And, you know, and they're not worried about interceptions at this time of year. There's no reason to, but, you know, he's going to be able to learn from it. You know, he can't make those same mistakes again. And that's what, you know, this is what the OTAs and the training camp are all about, is learning what he can and can't do.
And I absolutely agree with that entire statement. Any other guys that really stood out to you?
You know, I mean, offense, it was, like I said, it was really a bit of a struggle and everything. You know, probably the best play of the day offensively might have been Matt McGloin with a throw to Byron Pringle from Kansas State. It was a nice little hook pattern. It was a good throw from McGloin, you know, right on target. And then, you know, Pringle was able to make a good move after the catch for some additional yards and everything. That was pretty impressive. You know, I don't think we saw enough out of Chase Litton. He's going to be battling McGloin for that third spot. You know, I think that's going to be a kind of work in progress too, to see how that position sorts out and everything. But, you know, other than the offensive line, I mean, I think that the lineup is more or less set in the depth chart. Yeah, you're going to have some, you know, hey, there's going to be a really good position battle at wide receiver. There's a lot of guys there for maybe the last three spots. So that's going to be pretty tough. But offensive line, you know, in the center and left guard position, Cam Irving has been taking the snaps at center with Mitch Morse on the sideline. And hey, all indications are that Morse is going to be there for training camp, that he'll be ready by then. Parker Anger been lining up at left guard. And, you know, I think that's, if that's the team and that's the lineup that you go to the season with, I think that's probably, as a Chiefs fan, that's what you want to see. I mean, I think you want to see, you know, Parker Anger win that left guard spot. That allows, you know, Brian Witzman and Cam Irving to be your swing lineman. Khalil McKenzie is there to learn. Because Witzman and Irving, with their flexibility, they can play anywhere. I mean, you're pretty much set in any position that you can fill in pretty quickly. You know, Witzman, we know, can play guard. He can play tackle. Irving can essentially fill in anywhere. And that's why I think, you know, that they do want to see him get some time at center and everything, is that he kind of can be that Zach Fulton position going forward and everything. So, I mean, that's looking a little bit more clear. You know, how many linemen that they cover or carry, that's going to be a question. But if Anger can win that left guard spot, I think it sorts out a lot of things on the offensive line.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. You know, you talked about Morse with his injury and not practicing. I know there were a couple other guys that really didn't practice as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, Spencer Ware and DeAnthony Thomas both are not practicing. those three players with Morse on the sideline right now, and not big surprises at all. Ware's knee injury is, you know, typically at least a full year recovery, and you know that was an August injury. So, you know, if he's even slow going into the training camp, that's not going to be a surprise. And you know, with Thomas, we didn't get a whole lot of details on just the severity of that leg break, but you know, you could see it on the field against Denver. That was an ugly injury. I mean, it really was. Yeah. So, you know, once again, that's not necessarily a surprise that he slowed down. So, and they were not counting on any of these three guys during OTAs. The team's very comfortable taking it easy with them. The determining line is going to be training camp and see if they're ready for that. And like I said, indications are that Morse is probably going to be ready by training camp. The other two we'll wait and see, but. That's the only significant injury issues with this team right now. I mean, they've got all 90 guys in camp. Even some of the veterans that have skipped OTAs in the past are there. So there's a lot of kumbaya harmony and everything like that going on with this team right now.
Well, I think that's really good that some of those veterans that have skipped in the past are there. I think they need to be there because this is a time where you have all those young guys showing up and trying to learn how to play in the NFL. I think this is something, you know, where they can start making that bond early and really get started and ready for the season. You know, you talked about Spencer Ware. I'm not so sure that he doesn't, you know, with the way his injury was, with when his injury was more than anything else, I'm not so sure he even starts the season on the active roster. He may end up starting on the PUP.
It's entirely possible. And the transactions that this team has made during the offseason certainly lead you to come to that speculation and everything because, hey, they've gone out and they've signed some veteran running backs. They've got a couple of really nice, you know, undrafted rookie candidates that they brought in. So, yeah, I mean, it's – hey, you're always going to cover all your bases. And anytime you get that chance, you know, like Brett Veach has said with the acquisition of Damian Williams and Kerwin Williams, you know, anytime you get a chance to bring in a player that you think can make your team better and that you like, you're going to do it. So, you know, maybe it was a little bit of, hey, these two players were available and they had a chance to get them. But at the same time, it certainly makes it suggest that they're looking for additional depth just in case. And you know, with Ware's injury situation, that's certainly an insurance policy that they need.
So what have you seen? What did you see from any of the younger guys? And what did you see? You know, you said Chase Litton didn't really show much and he's going to have a lot of time to show things. Did McGloin look that much better from what you saw?
You know, McGloin had just a couple of good throws. Litton was more just an opportunity. I mean, the fourth quarterback just doesn't get that whole lot of opportunities. So, you know, and for one practice, it's just too little to grade on and everything. But
absolutely,
he's going to get more opportunities down the road. But if for the fourth quarterback, it's always tough. But you know, McGloin looked pretty comfortable. I mean, and Henny looked good too. I mean, you know, as far as the raggedness of that practice goes, I mean. You know, I don't think there's any concerns as far as the depth chart goes. And, you know, heck, if Matt McGloin's your third quarterback, I think you're probably in pretty good shape there. You know, wide receiver, like I said, there's a lot of, you know, young guys out there that are looking pretty good. Some of them are the returning guys, you know, Gary Dieter, you know, has, you know, looked really good in that rookie mini camp. You know, he's got to be able to show it now against the veterans and everything, but Marcus Kemp, you know, getting some opportunities in there too. You got DeMarcus Robinson coming back. Some of the young guys, I mean, Davon Grayson, Elijah Marks, Byron Pringle is probably of the undrafted rookies, at least the one that's impressed me the most, with the wide receiver group. There's an interesting one with Blake Mack, who was an undrafted free agent, tight end from Arkansas State. He does not appear to be a tight end anymore. He's been working with, you know, the receivers since rookie minicamp and still working with the receiver group. And he's kind of a tweener. He's like 6'2", 6'3", I think like 230, 235. So he's, you know, not quite a tight end, but not quite a receiver, but he's got the pass catching skills. So, you know, it looks like that's where they're going to kind of squeeze him in is kind of more of a receiver than a tight end. I was curious about, you know, just what we saw in that Thursday practice too from Alex Ellis, who's the tight end that they picked up off of waivers from New Orleans. He got quite a few looks, you know, and was running on, you know, some of the 7-on-7 drills, catching some passes, which kind of surprises because I think the conventional wisdom with him is that they were bringing him in as, you know, kind of a blocking option, but they're they're definitely taking a look at him as a pass catcher too.
Well, and you bring up the tight end group, and that's interesting because the one thing that we didn't mention that we probably should have is Demetrius Harris is going to be serving a one-game suspension at the start of the season. And that's obviously – and I'm not going to say he's going to not be on the team, but I will say that, you know, that's subject to him being on this team. I think he's still probably the second-best tight end that they have right now, but maybe that isn't the way it shakes out when the season starts.
Yeah, and the suspension is probably the best case scenario for him. Those things can always be worse. So, you know, the one game suspension is not that big of a deal, and I don't think it'll be a terrible consideration. You know, as far as the makeup of the roster, it might be just a 1 week consideration. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there is competition in this camp at wide receiver. I mean, you brought Jason Morrow in, you've brought Tim Wright in, you've got some, you know, young kids in there competing too. So hey. Travis Kelce will be there. There's no doubt about that. But
right.
I think the two or three spots behind him are pretty wide open.
Yeah, and I guess the whole thing with him is, you know, you always are looking for ways to clean up roster or cap space because the Chiefs are going to be up against the cap for the next couple of years. Well, at least for this year, unless they make some more moves, which aren't anticipated at this time. Well, Matt, thank you very much. That will be it for us today. Matt will be back with us tomorrow to talk about the defense.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.